Sermon today in our Reliance series, but after I returned home from district council this week, I felt led to go in a different direction, and I thought it was probably appropriate that I do a message for Mother's Day, because moms, you make the world go round. You really do. I have always personally believed that you were and are the superior gender. Now, I'm not trying to earn brownie points with you today. I'm just speaking what I've always believed, and that is the truth. Because your capacity to love, your capacity to forgive and to endure, I believe far exceeds what most men ever would or could. You even have a greater threshold for pain and discomfort than men do. And if you doubt that, just compare a sick dad on the sofa to a sick mom on the sofa and how high maintenance he is, and I've made my point. There's no comparison. I can see everybody agrees with that one. In fact, I've come to realize that if men had to bear and birth children, there would be zero population growth in the world today. Because there is no man that would go through what you went through. There is no man alive that would do that. So thank God for our moms. Amen. To all the moms here today, your influence on our lives is epic. The guidance and the direction that you provide us is paramount. And the truth is, without you, we'd all be running around stupid, dirty, hungry, confused, and without any manners. You see, the truth is, moms, you teach us a whole lot of things. You really do. Mothers teach us about foresight. They, with words like this, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. That's foresight. Moms teach us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come running to me. Moms teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Moms teach us about religion. You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet, Buster. Moms teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. I love this one. Moms teach us about contradictions with words like, shut your mouth and eat your dinner. That's a contradiction. Mothers teach us about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Moms teach us about perseverance. You are going to sit there until that last piece of broccoli is eaten, young man. Moms teach us about genetics. You are just like your father. Moms teach us about weather. Looks like a tornado just swept through this room. And moms teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. How many of you heard those statements in your lifetime? God bless our moms. Moms, you are the greatest and we owe so much to you. And the impact that you make upon our lives and that you make upon our society is essential. And truthfully, you never receive enough credit for what it is that you do. So this morning, I want to honor you for all that you do. And as I was thinking about what I would speak on today, you would think it would be really easy to come up with a Mother's Day message, wouldn't you? But honestly, it is not as easy as you think, and I'll tell you why. Because while Mother's Day can be a very happy and a joyous occasion, it can also be a very sad day. For some, it can actually be a day of grief and a day of pain. Because not everybody looks forward to Mother's Day. They just don't. Maybe you've recently lost your mother, and this day only reminds you of your loss, and you're struggling with pain and sadness this morning. Or maybe you've lost a child, and this day reminds you, and you grieve all over again. And maybe you're having difficulties with your own mother. In your mind, she wasn't the ideal mom that she should have been, and you've had bad memories of her, and you've been trying throughout your adult life to reconcile all of that. Maybe you were never able to have children and Mother's Day isn't a joyous occasion for you. Perhaps you've never had a real mother. Maybe she abandoned you, or maybe you lost your mother at an early age and you were raised by foster parents or by relatives. Maybe you raised your kids well and for some reason they've chosen not to be a part of your life and that grieves you. Maybe you're a single mom and every day is a great struggle just to keep your head above the water. You're doing your very best to be the best mom to your kids, but often your best doesn't seem good enough for you. And though I know that this statement is going to date me a bit, the truth is not every home is like the Cleavers or the Brady Bunch or the Ozzie, Harriet, and Nelson family. Maybe your house is more like the Ozzy Osbourne family. To bring it up to date and in terms the young people here can understand. In other words, maybe your family is not so normal. Maybe you come from a highly dysfunctional family. And conversely, there are people here today who were raised in a good Christian home, and you have wonderful parents, and you are wonderful parents. You need to be very thankful today for what God has blessed you with what He has given you. But regardless of where you stand this morning or how you feel about this day designed to honor the mothers in our life, my intention is to encourage all the mothers here this morning because you deserve it. But at the same time, I'm going to spend a little bit of time challenging the children that are still left in this building, which should be just about every one of us. So before I address the moms, let's start with a challenge to the children. Now that the little ones have left, those that are remaining are between the ages of 12 and 17 years of age. And I want to talk to you for a minute. I know in the culture in which we live, it becomes popular not to obey your parents. Trying to do things on your own because you think you know better. You're constantly told that your parents' rules are out of date and they're ancient, and therefore they make no sense to you. And you've come accustomed to watching families on TV, parents who are clueless, parents who are self-absorbed, who have no time to engage in their children's lives. Well, can I tell you something? That's TV. That's the Disney Channel at work. And it leads you not wanting to obey mom and dad because this is what you see in front of you on television day after day. But the Word of God has a lot to say about this, kids. And let me share a few scriptures with you. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on earth." Colossians 3, 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Proverbs 1, 8 through 9 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland of grace to your head, and a chain to adorn your neck." God has given you parents as a gift. God has given you a mother to protect you, to nurture you, to teach you, to guide you, to love you, and to restrain you. And without her protection, without her nurturing, without her teaching, without her guidance, without her love, and without her restraint, guess what? You'd fall for anything. And the reason is because you lack wisdom. Because wisdom comes from real life experiences, and you just haven't lived enough life to have enough of them to develop the kind of wisdom that you desperately need. That's why God gave you a mother, to help you to make those right choices. Having been a child myself, I know how easy it becomes to quit listening to the instructions of your mother. And as you're growing up each day, as you're maturing and as you're learning, it becomes easy to believe that you have all of the answers. But understand, God has given you parents in order to direct your path and in order to raise you up in the proper way. You see, your mom has lived a whole lot more life than you have, kids. And she's already experienced most anything that you'll ever experience. And the point I want to make this morning is there is very little that might be going on in your young life that your mom hasn't already gone through herself. So instead of rolling your eyes at her and acting like she couldn't possibly have a clue what you're dealing with, trust me when I tell you, she does. She knows. She can help you. So I encourage you today to give her an attentive ear. To listen, and I assure you, you will learn something. And I don't know if you've looked at it this way or not, but much of how you do or do not obey or disobey your mom carries over in your life. What I mean is this, if you are continually having a hard time being obedient to the guidance and the direction that your mom leads you in, you're going to establish that same kind of a pattern in your relationship with God. Why do I say that? Because There is no relationship in your young life that mirrors your relationship with God more than the relationship that you have with your mother. Because just like God, no one loves you more than your mother. Just like God, no one wants the best for you more than your mother. And just like God, no one is going to teach you the right way to live more than your mother will. And if you get into a pattern of trusting and honoring and obeying your mom, as you grow up, you will naturally learn to trust and honor and obey your Heavenly Father. So I want all of you kids, yes, your kids, as long as you're under 17, you're still a kid in my book, I want you to do me a favor. I want, before the end of the day, for you to go to your mom, and I want you to thank her for everything that she has done for you. I want you to ask her to forgive you for the times when you were rude, when the times that you have been disrespectful, for the times when you treated her in the wrong way, when all she was trying to do is to help you and love on you. I think that would be a great Mother's Day gift. How about you? All right. Now I want to talk to the adult children in this place. And that should be about every one of us. Whether you are 18 or 25 or 37 or 52 or 65 years old, you were born to someone, and therefore you are what is referred to as a son or a daughter. There are precepts found in God's Word that instruct us how to treat our mother, whether as a child or whether as an adult. And the most important one is Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Honor is such an important thing, and yet it is something that your mother really deserves but is lacking in our world today. I think as we grow older and as we become adults ourselves, we tend to think that these scriptures apply to the little ones. And they do. But it continues to apply to us no matter what age we get to. Your mom deserves your honor. And if you don't think this is serious, check this scripture out. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. And I'm not trying to frighten you this morning. But that's the word of God. I think it shows us how seriously God takes it when we mistreat our mothers, even as they grow old, and especially as they grow old. As adults, we feel we've earned the right to manage our own lives, and we certainly have. But it's important that in doing so, we don't quit honoring our mother in her twilight. Certainly, there are generational differences, there are cultural differences, and even differences in the way that we choose to raise our own children. But please don't use that as an excuse to be disrespectful to your mom. Just like the preteens and the teenagers sometimes roll their eyes at mom, I've seen adult children do the same thing to their elderly parents. And all I want to say about that is, do you think God is happy with you when you do that? Certainly is not, and there's a whole lot of scripture that can back that up. So here's what I want to ask of you today as an adult child. Tell your mom who is advancing in her years that you love her, that you appreciate everything that she's ever done for you, and that you are sorry for those times that you've been short with her when you've rolled your eyes. Don't let this day go by without doing what is right and honoring your mom. You see, we all have been affected by motherhood in one way or the other. Everyone here either has a mom, had a mom, is a mother, is married to a mother, or knows a mother. And so for our mothers here today, here's the part of my message where I want to encourage all of you. The Bible has a whole lot to say about motherhood. And the story of redemption in the Word of God is full of stories of women, both who raised up and who brought down kings, who helped to preserve the people of God and who opened the way for both conquest and redemption. And along the way, though not all of the stories, many of these stories are stories of women who worked and who wept and who waited long periods of time to have their own children. Women who saw their place in the story of God as being related to their calling as mothers. And that's not to suggest that all their stories are the same, but stories such as that of Sarah and Hannah and Rebecca and Mary and Elizabeth and Bathsheba and Ruth and Zipporah, they all testify to the diversity of paths that we sacredly call motherhood. Motherhood takes on many different forms as each mother learns what it is to and what it takes to mother her own family. And she works through her own unique challenges and also through her own unique blessings. You see, I believe we do mothers a disservice when we try to make it a one-size-fits-all concept. We really do. No two moms are any more alike than any two children, any two sons or two daughters. And I want to encourage all of you moms here this morning, be free not to become just like the other moms that you see, but instead become what God has called you to be in the life of your own family. Certainly you learn from the example and the wisdom of other women as much as you can, but do not try to become them. God did not give your children to them. He gave your children to you. He placed them in your care and he entrusted them to you. So moms, honor that trust by not simply imitating others, but instead seek out the unique gifts that God has given you and the blessings that he has given you that you can uniquely offer to your own children. And let me just say, I realize how common it is in this world in which we live to compare yourself to other moms out there. Comparison is a very deadly thing. You look at others, you look at others' lives, you look at circumstances, and you think to yourself, oh, if only I had her life. When the truth is, you have not a clue what is going on underneath the facade. You see the public persona, but you don't have a clue what's going on in that person's life, and it's dangerous for you to do that. So I want to encourage you to continually pray for discernment, that God will help you to work through your own unique challenges, and you will become exactly the mother that God created you to be, rather than a copy of somebody else. You see, God gives us different mothers because we have different needs. As children, we have different needs and we have different challenges. Some children struggle to understand their responsibilities in this life, while some of us struggle to find independence. Some children need to be coaxed to get into the books and study, and some children you almost got to coax to get them out of the books from time to time. Some of us need more help as children making friends, and some of us need more help understanding what it means to have boundaries in our relationships. Different mothers do things differently. And part of the challenge of the role that you play as a mother, like the many things God has called you to do, is figuring out what it means to do it as you. As you. Uniquely as you. You see, God, motherhood, I believe, is a calling. It isn't just something I think you're thrust into. I think it's a calling, and I believe that it is intensely personal for every mother in this place. As a mother, you partner with God to redeem the world by teaching your children to hear and to follow God, but by providing for their needs. And then in their eyes, you become both the means and the symbol of God's gracious provision in their life. By speaking what you've learned from the Word of God and by living it, God's Word becomes alive to your children in the life of their mother through their eyes. Faith basically takes on the flesh through you, and it becomes a part of your children's worldview. In a world that's made up of crazy schedules and bedtime stories and soccer practice and field trips, moms, your participation with God makes you a missionary. In a world of crayons and newfound creativity, of swim meets, after-school clubs, and practices, of young people who are learning to be who God created them to be. Becoming a mother is not the only expression of your role in God's mission, but I believe with all my heart it is certainly the most powerful, the most important one. You see, moms have a difficult job. They do. It's really more of a ministry than it is a job. And God doesn't bless you with motherhood just to leave you hanging out to dry. And I want you to understand that He's given you His Word. He's given you His Word to encourage you, to bless you, to comfort you, and to guide you. You see, God knows and sees all, ladies. He knows the difficulties. He knows the struggles. He knows the mistakes. And he knows the regrets. He understands your feeling of inadequacy. He understands the sleepless nights. He knows it all. He also knows how hard you are on yourselves and the impossible standard that you establish that no one could ever possibly attain or achieve. So I want to offer you a Mother's Day card from God this morning. And it's from His Word, the Holy Bible. You know, when anybody goes to purchase a Mother's Day card, we always look for words that clearly express how we feel about the mother in our life. Well, God's Word was written with you in mind, and it's a love letter with guidance. It's a love letter with understanding for you as you participate in this high calling of motherhood. Motherhood isn't for the weak or faint-hearted, is it? It is no doubt one of the most difficult tasks that there is. And while being a mom, you can face many difficulties, and you can become emotionally and physically spent. So if you're here this morning, mom, and you're discouraged, here's a word to you from God's Mother's Day card, Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So moms, when you feel like giving up, don't. Lean upon God, because He will not grow tired and He will not grow weary. And He understands in ways, the Word says, that you cannot even fathom. The Scripture tells us He gives strength to the weary and He will increase your power. Here's another word of encouragement from God in Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Mothers, when you get discouraged, open up God's Mother's Day card to you and read His message for you. And then you can say it like the Apostle Paul did, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. To those moms here today who feel like you're doing everything all on your own, your Heavenly Father is always there to help you. And He's got lots of experience in this area. Open up God's Mother's Day card to you and see what's written in it. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Mothers, you're not alone. Read on. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Don't give up. Help is on its way. Wait upon the Lord, because Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Still not convinced? Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God's not going to abandon you, mothers. He's always there to help you. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Isn't it strange how, excuse me, we can be in the middle of an activity and still feel all alone? Jesus tells you in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, sometimes all we need is a hug from God. Just reassurance that He's there. And God tells you in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And remember, when Jesus left this earth to return to His Heavenly Father, He left this promise for you in Matthew 28:20. And surely I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So mothers, you're not alone in raising your children. You're not. God hasn't abandoned you. Whenever you feel lonely, open up God's Mother's Day card to you and be assured that He is just a prayer away. For those moms here today who are tired, you know, sometimes a stay-home mom will be asked this question, do you work? And I know your first impulse is to probably throttle the person who asked you that question. And then I think your second impulse is to probably laugh hysterically until you cry. It has been said that the typical mother, if she were out in the business world, she'd be worth about $700,000 a year. She's a combination of a taxi driver, a judge, a lawyer, a chef, a psychiatrist, a teacher, a preacher, a doctor, and much more. So I won't ask you, do you work? Because I know you work. But in that work, sometimes you get tired. And if you'll open up God's Mother's Day card to you, this is what he writes to you in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You won't find rest by hiding in the closet or locking yourself in the bathroom. I think we've all tried that at one point. You will find rest in Jesus. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge. He is our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. So moms, when you get to the end of your rope, come to Jesus and he will give you everything that you need. For those moms here today who are worried, in fact, show me a mother who doesn't worry. You can't. Worry is a part of being a mother. Open up God's Mother's Day card for you and find out what he says. He says in Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Mothers have very broad shoulders, but they do not compare to the broad shoulders of our Heavenly Father. He, ladies, can tote a whole lot more than you can. The old gospel song says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Mothers, you don't have to worry, even though I know you will. You've got somebody to go to. You've got somebody who is eagerly waiting for you to unload upon him. Don't deny him the privilege of carrying your burden for you. For those moms here today who've ever gotten angry with their kids, and I'm sure that includes every one of us, moms and dads alike, we've all gotten angry and we've all responded in ways that we've later regretted. Remember this one thing. God doesn't say it's wrong to get angry. He tells us not to get angry and sin. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. You see, there is a purpose in anger, moms. You're supposed to get angry over disobedience and lack of respect and insolence. And understand, if you didn't get angry over it, but instead permitted it and encouraged it, that wouldn't make you much of a mom now, would it? I want to encourage you today by letting you know, moms, that we're all human. Yes, ladies, I hate to break it to you this way, but you too are human. And you're going to make mistakes in raising your kids. And you have made mistakes in raising your kids. It is inevitable. But when you do, don't allow it to destroy or to derail you from what it is that God has called you to do. There is a gift. There is this precious thing called grace. God extends it to everyone daily. And just because you are a mother doesn't mean you are exempt from God's grace. Learn to embrace it. Learn to live in that grace. And you will live a much happier life knowing you're not expected to be perfect, even though many of you are the closest thing to perfection I think we've ever seen. And you know, the last thing that probably is the most difficult for a Christian mom, it consumes you, it creates fear in you, it can greatly affect even the way that you look at yourself. It's when one of your children, who has been raised to honor God and live by his truth, isn't living for the Lord. When your children have either received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and for some reason have walked away from their faith, or who have never made that commitment to serve the Lord. I don't know of anything that troubles the heart of a Christian mother more. And if you are a mom here today and you are grieving over a child who is far from God, I want to encourage you this morning. Scott, why don't you come forward and help me close this down? You see, I was such a child. I grew up in a Christian home. I walked away from everything that I had been taught. And I spiraled downward. And I had a bottoming out process. And I got to a point that I never, ever envisioned that I could ever get to. It had nothing to do with how I was raised. It had nothing to do with my mother. I was raised in a great home. I was, and I am still, what is called a free and moral agent. Meaning I make my own decisions. I make my own choices, and so do you. And we make our own choices both for the good and for the bad. You see, moms, you cannot live your children's lives for them. As much as you may want to, you can't. They will make their own decisions. And your job is to simply love them through it and to encourage them and to always lead them through your actions and through your attitudes back to Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny how when I was far away from God, it was the things that I was taught when I was just a little guy that haunted me. The truth is, the Holy Spirit, even in the horrible condition and the state that I was in, continually attempted to bring me back to the cross. Oh, I could shut out his voice on occasion. I could push that voice aside, but he didn't stop. He was relentless. And when you combine that with a praying mom, that's what brought me back to the cross. Keep praying for your wayward children. I know you get weary. Ask the Holy Spirit to visit them over and over again, to bring back to their remembrance the things that you poured into them when they were living under your roof. Always remember this, mom. God is faithful. And he wants that none should perish. That's what the Word of God says, and that includes your child. It's kind of a different message. I realize it's probably not focused on salvation, but it can become one. You know, earlier I talked to all the kids and I encouraged you and I asked you if you would, before the day was done, to go to your mom and ask her to forgive you for the times when you were not the way you should have been, and thank her for everything that she's done for you. And I hope and I pray that you all will take the time to do that this day. But can I tell you what would make this Mother's Day the greatest Mother's Day of her life? What would make the greatest Mother's Day gift in her lifetime would be if she left this place knowing that everything was right between you and God. I never want an end of service without giving people the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. This is what church is all about. If we're not giving people the opportunity to receive Christ, we might as well just shut the doors. We become nothing but a club. I have no intention of being a club. I want every week for people to come to the understanding, knowledge, and faith in Christ Jesus. And therefore, I want to lead everyone in this place in a prayer. It's called a prayer of salvation. And you may ask, well, how does a prayer bring me salvation? The Word of God says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross for your sins to bring you eternal life, and you confess that with your mouth, you'll be saved. It's not rocket science. You are simply receiving the free gift of salvation that he offers to every human being that walks the face of this earth. But you know, the problem is many times we allow pride to get in our way of praying a simple prayer that opens up the doorway for Christ to come into your life and to make a difference in how you live your life, to make a difference in the way you go about making those decisions. And if you pray this prayer, and if you sincerely mean what you're saying, Jesus will enter your heart. And you can leave here today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that things are right between you and God. And your mother can leave here today knowing that her greatest concern has been relieved, has been taken care of. And I assure you, this will be the greatest Mother's Day you could ever give your mom. I want you all to bow your heads with me, and I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want everyone in this place to repeat these words after me, whether you're saved or not, to encourage those who really need to pray this prayer loud and strong. If you repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son Jesus. I thank you that he died so I could be set free. Free from sin. Free from condemnation. So today I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm tired of doing things on my own. I want to start living for you. Today is a turning point in my life, and I give my life to you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for your forgiveness. I am now your child, and you are my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'd like all the moms to stand. I want to pray over all of you today. You're a very special group of people. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the moms here today. What a vital role they play in this world. God, I pray if there be any of them here today who match any of those things, that are weary, tired, discouraged, have lost loved ones, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would comfort them this day, to realize that you care for them. You are in control. And though we can't always see everything that's going on around us, you are working behind the scenes on our behalf. I pray, Father God, for those who are discouraged, you would lift them up today. Those who are tired, you'd give them rest. Father, those who wonder if they can make it another day, I pray that your Holy Spirit would strengthen them. And God, I pray that these moms would receive honor today and every day from their children, from their husbands. Father, I pray that every man and husband in this place and every child in this place will today encourage their mom and thank them for what they've done. I just ask, Father, that your Spirit would go with them, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct them every day as they do the most difficult job on the face of the earth, raising children. I pray that you would guide and direct them. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. Give them the discernment that they need to raise their children in this day and age in which we live in. I ask your hand to be upon them. Bless them today, Father. I pray that whatever they apply their hands to would prosper. Whether that would be raising healthy, happy children, whether they're in the marketplace, whatever it is, God, I ask that you'd go with them. Strengthen them and guide them through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for being here today. I just want to remind you, we will not be having a Sunday evening service so people can spend time with their families. Thank you for being here. If you are a visitor with us, you take a time to fill out one of those Get Connected cards. We'd really appreciate it so we could communicate with you. Thank you so much. God bless you all.